The reading is Luke 12, verses 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the NIV. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say."
Good morning, everyone. Hope we're all well and had a nice lie-in. Don't worry, I'm a second service type of person too. So I had the choice of choosing a bit of scripture, and so I've chosen a bit of an odd passage, I guess. It's a bit out of the blue, but I chose it because I believe, and when I read it, it spoke to me of Jesus's initial kind of opening up of what the Spirit is and how it can change our lives. And as a church, we've been looking at this transformative work of the Holy Spirit recently. And I thought, let's have a look at what Jesus says about that transformation happening. And hopefully it can impact and change our own lives and our own response to the Holy Spirit at work. So I pray that for each one of us, God might do something new. May today be an opportunity for our eyes to be opened, for our hearts and our minds to understand new mysteries about God's kingdom. And the first thing that Jesus talks about is this stuff. It's called yeast. And he mentions something, the yeast of the Pharisees. I'll leave that to mix for a bit. So you may wonder, what is he getting at when he mentions yeast? And we'll get to that in a bit. He also talks about being in a dark room. Then he mentions sparrows. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit and how it should speak on our behalf. So I want to look at each of these 4 points and how they can be applied and how they're relevant to our lives today. But first, as with any Bible kind of study or message, we need to look at the context. I've just picked Luke 12. So what is happening around this time in the Bible? So in Luke 11, the chapter just before, Jesus is speaking about being transformed spiritually, that our spiritual lives can be transformed in a radical way. And Jesus says that those who follow him will find that the Holy Spirit transforms them and empowers them from the inside. It changes who you are from your soul, and that will be seen in an outward way. However, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in Luke 11, and he notices and he openly criticizes that they, as the religious authorities of the time, they think their religion is all about show. What other people see is the heart of their religion. They're all about, how do I look to others? How do I come across to other people? What's their opinion of me? And the truth is, they are like a piece of fruit that looks wonderful on the outside, and actually underneath the core is rotten. Jesus reveals that there must be a revolution in our attitude to God, And that will lead to a transformation in our lives. And Jesus reveals this truth to the Pharisees in Luke 11, and they just do not understand. They're stuck in their old traditional ways. There's no revolution, and so there's no transformation for them. So we find that Jesus has just addressed the Pharisees, and he's failed to change their hearts. And so now, what's he do? He turns to people like you and I. And this is the advice that he has for us. He says, do not be like the Pharisees. But he uses this strange phrase about the yeast of the Pharisees. So first of all, what does Jesus mean by the yeast of the Pharisees? Well, yeast causes things to expand or to rise. So I've got here some dish soap and a bit of hydrogen peroxide. And then I got some yeast. And we're going to see if the yeast has any effect. Actually, safety first. So we'll see. Does the yeast have any effect on our hydrogen peroxide? I'm just going to agitate it a little. So mix it, and I'll leave it here. So yeast, if you don't know, if you're not a baker, yeast causes things to rise or expand. And this would have been known to the Jewish people because of leavened bread and unleavened bread. The yeast adds a weight or a substance and a value to the bread. And Jesus is saying in this passage that the Pharisees have become so self-righteous that they are hypocrites. That is, that they think they are better than everybody else. And this inflates their sense of self-worth. They find their weight, their substance, and their value in their own ego. It's making them swell with pride. But as with yeast, and as we can see here, yeast consumes, it fills up a space. And when you are filled with other things, rather than the Holy Spirit, there is no room for God to be at work. And that is the danger of the yeast in our lives. When we have something that consumes us and does not allow God and his Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that is when we risk not walking with God. So, like this bottle is now overflowing, the yeast fills and consumes the Pharisees. But is this because they act more religious than everyone else? I would say not all, because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus uses this same phrase for Herod. He talks about the yeast of Herod and the Sadducees. Now, we know that Herod was not a conservative Jewish man, so I don't think it's about having a life that is focused on tradition and following all the rules, but rather anything that causes our own sense of self-worth to become more than our sense of dependence on God. When I value myself and my own worth and the gifts that God has given me above that of the worth of God in my life, I become my own God. I reject the truth that I need a savior, and I tell myself I can save myself. When I find my status in the things that I own or what I do, rather than finding my true identity in being a loved child of God, that's when I'm in danger of being apart from God. That's when I'm in danger of missing that God wants a relationship with me. So if we move on in verse 5, Jesus tells us to fear the one who can separate us from existence itself. And I don't think that this is a call to worship God in some authoritarian way that he is dictated to us that we have to worship him, and so that we do. But rather, this is a warning and something to concern us that God is life and sustenance. A life with God is a life fully lived. God is justice and truth and purity. And when you turn your back and reject those kind of ideals, then what hope is there for you? You might as well be dead. Because it's like getting an amazing present at Christmas and finding the greater value in the wrapping paper rather than the gift itself. Yes, maybe God has given you wealth, or maybe he's found you employment, or you have a great family or wonderful circle of friends. Perhaps you have intelligence or beauty, but these are minor and temporary gifts compared to a life that is lived and journeyed with Christ each step of the way. And that's not to mention that there is the truth of an eternal life to come after this one. So as individuals, we are each blessed in unique ways. You have your own unique set of abilities that no one else can contribute. And God wants to use these to transform the world. You have worth, more than you know. And Jesus tells us that in this passage. You have value, and God wants to use that. So do you have that day-to-day, ongoing companionship and relationship that Jesus calls us to, so that you can offer God what you can give, and God can provide more in your life? So if we come to apply this first bit of scripture to our own lives, what might this yeast be for us? Because we all at times have something which we put our trust in more than God. And these are the initial barriers, the first barriers that we need to recognize, acknowledge, and knock down before we come before God today. We need to know that we're in need of a savior. We need to know that it's okay to rely on others. And we need to know that it's essential to rely on God. So what are some of those barriers for us? What do we need to approach God with and say, God, this is a stumbling block between myself and you and our relationship. And can you help me overcome it? Can you give me the strength, the resilience, and the courage to work through this so that our relationship can be deeper, stronger, and better lived? So what are some of these things for our relationship with God? Jesus then goes on to talk about the things that are hidden will become seen. And this is where we find Jesus really getting to the heart of the matter and really getting involved with the Pharisees and the way that they live their lives. Because they don't understand that even though they look the part on the outside, inside they are dead. And Jesus' attitude is completely opposed to that of the Pharisees, because Jesus' attitude is that the heart is what matters most. Because our inner monologue, what we talk about within ourselves or in our own heads sometimes, that will one day be shouted from the rooftops. And that can be quite a scary thought, right? The internal things we maybe have thought or said about someone else or their actions. These things we think go hidden, but one day they'll be revealed. And this past year, I've had the privilege of working in a school that's in quite a deprived area. And to be honest, I've absolutely loved it. It's been great getting to know the kids, getting to know their situations and circumstances, and building that relationship with them. But the problem is, getting to know some teenagers in Britain today, they put up a front that everything's all right. But the truth is, many are struggling within with many different circumstances and struggles. And there's a darker side to the teenage youth of Britain today. Dad might not have been around, or dad might have a history of violence. So when God is mentioned to them as a loving father, they have a warped perception of what a father really is. They don't really understand what it means to love someone else. Some young people I knew would go home and they could not rely on mum and dad to make them a meal because they were either too drunk or too intoxicated on drugs. So these young people did not know what it meant to trust someone else, because their internal monologue tells them that they can only rely on themselves. So as a community who is rather affluent and may not struggle from such similar circumstances, we need to ask ourselves, how do we reach people like these? How do we bring them a Christianity that is relevant and life-changing and alive to people who are so far from God? How do we as individuals become transformed ourselves so that we can meet the needs of a hurting world today? It is we that will bring God's kingdom here on earth. It's us that have a task to do. So it's us that need to be transformed too. Because these situations that I've talked about and many other injustices that we may have faced, these are often unseen, as are most of our motives and our intentions in life. But one day, all of these will be revealed. The things that you thought you might have gotten away with, you will not. And that goes for other people as well. Those who committed injustices without trial will one day face that trial that they deserve. They will be called to account for what they have done. And those who rebelled against God will face judgment. But that's the darker side of this, because the greatest truth in this message is those that acknowledge Jesus, those that proclaim his name, get to enter into this new life. Those of us who in our hearts can say that Jesus is Lord of everything, that he is the greatest king who ever has been and ever will be, yet he was the most humble of servants. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and the one who sustains everything. And yet he is the one who died so that I may be able to be set free from the burden of sin, that I may be entered into new life with the Father, and I may become transformed by the Spirit. Jesus did all these things for you and for me. So do you acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Do you recognize the great things he's done for you? And can you share that with others? Because the important thing for us is that we must take care of the welfare of our souls. It's important for us to look after our bodies as well. Of course, they're a temple. But Jesus will not judge you on how many press-ups you can do. But he will judge you on the actions of your hearts and your intentions and your motives for why you did the things that you did. So pray as a community that we might be ambassadors who do want that internal transformation. May we be Christians that each day want God to do something new from within us. We've heard the news that we need a savior. We know that Jesus came to be that very one. And that is the revolution that the Pharisees in Luke 11 could not bear witness to. They couldn't see this truth, but we can. And so that revolution will truly lead to a transformation in your character through the Holy Spirit. And as we move through this passage, we get to quite a tricky bit near the end. And I know the 18 to 30s group had a series of questions earlier this week as part of their home group. And so I thought this was a question that I pondered when I first became a Christian. And so I thought I'd quickly cover it. Because it's a question that we can ask sometimes as we get to learn the Bible or we become new Christians. And Jesus says, anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And some of you may be thinking, what? What's this? I've been told that there's an all-forgiving God and he loves me. So why is there something that he cannot forgive? Well, you see, Jesus is talking about this transformation by the Spirit, that when we approach God with a request for forgiveness and a desire to follow Jesus, we will have this revolution in our soul, and that will lead to a transformation in our character as we commit our lives to God. And the Holy Spirit does a new thing within us as we are transformed. So it's impossible for God to save you if you come to church today with the attitude of, I will not listen if the Spirit brings a message of forgiveness. So we need to be forgiven and known that we can be forgiven by God. But if you come with an attitude that you refuse that before you enter the doors of church, then this transformation cannot happen. Likewise, for more mature Christians, if the Spirit points you in a direction, if you feel its guidance, yet you refuse to follow, then how is God transforming you? How is that transformation happening in your life? You are refusing to become more like Jesus. So how can God save you when you have such an attitude? And I know it's tough. We all have a cross to bear, each one of us. We're all weak and frail and human and in need of daily help, strength and transformation from an almighty Father. And to be honest, it's often through these weaknesses that we find great strength from God, that God does his greatest work in our lives. So I plead with you this morning, don't be stubborn, don't be arrogant. Let God mold your character, let him change your heart and transform your spirit. And the final point I wanted to draw out from this message is from the last paragraph. And that's when Jesus encourages his followers to allow the Spirit to speak on their behalf. Let the Spirit speak for you. You see, as you grow deeper in your relationship with God, you might find that you become more willing to really allow that transformation, that work of God, to happen in all areas of your life. Do you ever wonder how you might begin a conversation with someone about Jesus? Can I encourage you to pray about it, to ask the Holy Spirit to provide that right word at an opportune time? It's important to ask that God might help you with the small things as well as the big. And let me tell you this, bringing someone to Christ is no small thing. But likewise, we need to thank God for the great things and the small things. So over the past few weeks, we've heard a great deal on the Holy Spirit, its power, its transformative work. And I pray that these words from Jesus today might be a comfort and an encouragement to each one of us. That God is calling us forward into a future full of potential. The future is full of opportunity for each one of us. And it's full of opportunity for him to do something amazing through you. We all need transforming from within. And we all need that touch from God. And that transformation starts by responding to Jesus' revolutionary act of forgiveness on the cross and responding with a thankful heart. Let's pray together.